All right. Thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 13. I'm not going to expound it. We've taught the book of Revelation a number of times, and I'm teaching it currently in college. But I want to get on a subject in particular this morning, and I'm going to entitle it, How Socialism Ends Up. And I'll show you how it ends up right here in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. And you heard me talking during the Restore-a-thon on the radio some about this particular book right here, testimony of a man. He's already gone to heaven, but his testimony of what happened to him as a Christian under communism. And I have a number of the books back there. I'll only have time to reference it a little bit this morning, but however many we've got back there, you can get one, first come, first served, and we'll try to have some more out by next week. So if you don't get one today and you want it, it'll be next week. I asked Brother Bob Azawardi a while ago, we print them over in our Christian curriculum building, Brother Bob heads that up for us. I asked him if he knew exactly what it cost to print them. He didn't know exactly, but very cheap, probably less than a dollar or less. But we're not really going to sell them because we just wanted to get the word out. But if you want to give something extra in the offering plate, that'll help us out. Be all right. But we'd like everybody that wants one to have one. It's well worth reading. It's easy reading, but it's sad reading. And it's reading that'll make you cry and make you mad. too. And looking in Revelation chapter 13, I'm going to skip on down. Most of you are familiar with it. This is the chapter that has the mark of the beast. And all kind of discussion of that. And you've seen a lot of it on TV and other things. Nobody has the total answer. I've taught the book a number of times, and I have some theories also, like everybody else does. Many think the mark will be a chip put on the skin like they're doing with animal pets now, and even some people now are having that done, and that well could be. Let's pick it up just to read a little bit. Verse 16 of chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. And he causeth all. Now, what's the word all here? Causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. That just covers all the population, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, you that know about the book, you know that this is a antichrist that is counterfeit in what God did when he sealed his own servants. But then here's verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. All of that could easily be incorporated in a chip now, they say, smaller than a piece of rice, even smaller than that. Had a man here in the church. Oh, it hadn't been but a few weeks. He was sitting right on the front row here, and I didn't recognize him at first, but he was a young fellow that grew up somewhat. Well, was in our church a number of years ago when he was young, before he got married and before he moved off. And he'd moved off into California. And one time, oh, after he'd been out there a few years, he called me on the phone one night. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I understand the mark of the beast." He said, "I've been in the place." Now, you know about it. That's where they do all the Silicon Valley and all the computers and all that business. He said, "I've seen it. That's what they're going to do." He talked to me all about it. And he was visiting here, passing through just recently, a few weeks ago. No, we don't know exactly the method that'll be used, but we're told very plainly in the scripture what it'll be. And it says in verse 18, here's wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666. So 666 is not, anybody that knows the Bible, it's a little scary number. I've seen it on car tags over here in Lakeland a number of years ago. They put a prefix on the phone. And so many people complained about it, they had to change it. They didn't like the 666. So it's a, and of course, the cults and satanic rituals and all that they have, they play big off of the number 666. But here's what I want you to see. It is total control. You don't buy, you don't sell, that means you don't eat. That means you don't have milk for your babies. That means a time that the government, which in that case will be the one world government under the Antichrist, will have total control of everybody's life. Do you understand that's basically what socialism, which is just an inch from communism, and that's exactly what it is. It's control, just control. And you need to understand that. Now, the way it ends with people's rights being taken away.
Right.
Now, there's never been a freer nation than America. Sometimes you hear, well, you can't fight government, you can't fight City Hall. I can tell you can.
Yep.
In America. You still have constitutional rights. And while they're fading, we don't know how bad it's going to get until you get into it and find out you've been deceived and slipped into it. The people of Cuba had that. A lot of them thought Fidel Castro was going to make their lives better, but he didn't. It got a lot worse. And every dictator that comes in promising to give everything to everybody, what they forget to tell you is we're going to take away everything first. And then we're just going to give you some of it back,
right.
Just enough to keep you alive. And so in our current election, socialism is in the headlines. And it is amazing. One candidate promising to give more than the other. But for the first time, now I know we had a small group, even back in the 70s, Gus Hall and Angela Davis, and a few of them claiming to run for president on the communist ticket. That didn't amount to much. But here we have in the mainstream news, Bernie Sanders openly advocating socialism.
Right.
Even to the place, maybe a 90% income tax. And yet, Americans are being duped, and he's carrying a pretty big crowd with him. Now, I understand some of the crowd comes because of who he's running against, who is also into socialism, just maybe not quite as deep as Bernie. I saw a bumper sticker yesterday. I was on the way back up to the radio station, had Bernie Sanders on the back of it, right, passing through Haines City here. Now, somebody don't understand what they're asking for.
Right.
They ought to, because the whole world is an example. Everywhere it's been used, it's failed.
Amen.
I think it was Winston Churchill that made the statement about socialism. He said, it's no good. He said, the only two places it'll work. He said, one place is where they've already got it, and that's in hell. He said, we don't need it. And I think it was it Margaret Thatcher that said, the trouble with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of giving away everybody else's money. And she really had a good statement there. Let me talk to you just a little bit about it. The end of it is going to end up with the world being conned into thinking we'll give up our freedom and get everything for it. But the government can't give you anything.
Amen.
It didn't first take away from you.
Right.
And we need to be wise to that. Constitutional rights, such things as our First Amendment, which guarantees our religious freedom, guarantees the freedom of the press. And the Second Amendment, which guarantees our right to bear arms. And by the way, the reason America is still not totally taken over by the elite leadership, they still fear the fact that America is still armed.
Right.
And if it comes right down to it, there will be a shooting war.
Amen.
Now, I'm not advocating you go out to shoot jet planes with a deer rifle. But I am saying that when it gets down to the trenches, what happened in a number of these countries could not happen in America because we still are armed.
Right.
Recently in New York, I forget the name of the restaurant, it was in the news. Recently in New York, a popular and good-sized restaurant had some gunmen break into it. rob it, shoot up some folks. And on the front door of that restaurant is a sign that says no guns allowed. No guns allowed. That means even if you had a carrying permit, you couldn't come in there with your gun. But you know, the thieves forgot to read that sign. Or maybe they went in the back door. Where it was. No, the truth of the matter is that was a safe zone for them. And that's exactly what it would be. It'd be a safe zone in anybody's house if you couldn't have a weapon to defend your home. And so this is pure stupidity that we're hearing about. It is ridiculous. But sad truth is that they're trying their best. All kind of camouflage talk. They're trying their best to disarm America. And that's sad. That has to be before total socialism or communism can take part. Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr. I knew his dad a little bit, but don't think I've ever met Jerry Jr. But recently, he was in the news because he told his university students to go out and get carry permits. And said he had his. And boy, the liberals went nuts over that statement. Yeah. It just really shook them up. Hillary Clinton, who's running for president, or running from the FBI, whichever way you want to word it. Anyway, she really had a lot to say about Jerry Falwell telling his college students they ought to get gun carrying permits. And so while she was fussing at it, I would have loved to have been in her press conference because I would have asked her if she was willing to disarm her bodyguards. That'd have been a good question for her. You see, when they disarm you, they still got their guns. That's the way it'll always work. It'll always work that way. Anyway, talk to you about it just a little bit. What it is government totally running the citizen's life. It's totally taking away your freedoms. We take it for granted that we can get in our car and we can go out to Walmart or where we want to go and on any day of the week. But you know what? If they have their way, they're going to limit your travel, or even if you can have a car. So many things that we take for granted, you won't have. All for the better good. See, that's the thesis they always push. They pushed it from Lenin and Marx through Stalin, through all the leaders. And while Russia, after Ronald Reagan, began to hurt so bad, they began to let up a little bit. And of course, they already had an underground black market because of socialism, big time. All the communist countries, the people have to go under the radar to exist. We made a mission trip several years ago to Romania, and a group of us from our church and met a missionary over there and had two little cars and a Volkswagen van full of us trying to get to North Romania, almost to the Russian border, driving through the snow and ice that night after we left the airport, which itself was an experience. We pull up to our airports here. We might get a little bit aggravating at the parking guards, but pulled up in Romania and they all got the machine guns on you. Big difference. Big difference. But anyway, we got in those cars and going through the night, long drive, and hardly no lights anywhere and a dark night. I began to realize those cars are going to have to refuel sooner or later. Finally, I was looking way up the road and I saw a light come on. It was not already on, but I saw some kind of light come on up the road. And as we got closer, I realized it was a service station. Now, the reason he turned on the light was he could hear the cars coming. So he turned on the light. So sure enough, the Volkswagen van I was in, the missionary driving it, we pulled in to get fuel. But the two taxi cabs, we'd call them, Romanian taxi cabs, with some of our rest of our party in it, they went on by the station. And I thought, they're not getting that good of gas mileage. They need gas too. And so I said something to the missionary about it. He said, oh, they'll be all right. We gassed up. We go on down the road and we catch up with them. Now here's what had happened. As they went past the station away, there was somebody in the bushes waiting down there that had several cans of gasoline. And they saw the cars coming, they blinked the light, they stopped and fueled up at less money than the government station that we stopped at. So it was black market, we'd call it, fuel down the road. Now, that's the way they had to operate. And because of the communist regime that they were operating under. And so I'm saying to you, when you lose your freedoms on travel, you lose it on housing. When I was in Russia, some of you remember, we went up in those looked like condominiums that needed painting, just raw concrete. pretty rough. And I've told you before, having two families live in one little, what they called a flat, two bedrooms, one little restroom, one kitchen. But they would move as much as two families in. You didn't have to know each other. You didn't have to be kin. But you had to work out a schedule when you could use the kitchen, when you could use the restroom. You had one bedroom, it was yours. Now, folks, that's somebody supplying all of your needs,
right,
taking your freedom away, taking all that you earn and giving you a little bit back. That's socialism. And ultimately leads into total communism, which is worse. Now, this will really get you. Talking with some of the underground Christians, Baptists over there in Moscow area, many of the young people graduated high school, entered the universities or the colleges. And so I would, in talking to them, I would say, what are you majoring in? What's your career going to be? What are you going to do? And kind of carefully, they would say words like this to me. Well, we don't know yet. Depends on how our grades are and what. They'll test us. And in other words, they give you the job. They assign you your career. They assign you the job. Now, see, we Americans, we've been born free. We've had our parents and our grandparents. We can't imagine that. We make our own choices, but to have the choice made for you, no matter whether you want to do that or not, assigned a job. Now, some of it has changed a little bit, but not much. And that's exactly what the UN has planned for the whole world. Put you in the pigeonholes of an apartment, limit your travel, certainly take away your guns, and rob you of your freedoms, but they're going to take care of you. See, security, total security, takes away your total freedom.
Right.
I'll tell you right now how to walk out of here and have good security that you're going to have a place to sleep and a place to eat. Go to jail.
Right.
Just go out there and go to jail. You got security, they'll feed you every day. They'll protect you to some degree, at least in the small jails, not the big prisons. And so you say, well, we don't want that. We don't make a trade like that. Of course you don't. And we sure don't want to do it with a dictator sitting top of our government, stealing all of our freedoms away. Now, all this means, it means you work, they take it, then you give back a little bit. I have a story I tell. It's not too pretty, but it's got a point behind it. A hunter and his dog was out hunting in the mountains and got a little bit lost and didn't kill anything to eat. The hunter and the dog were starving to death. And So finally one night, sitting around the campfire, the hunter just couldn't stand it any longer. His dog was sitting in front of him, so he just reached over with his knife and quacked his tail off. Stuck it on a stick, began to roast it over the fire. Then he ate it and gave the dog the bone. And the dog wagged his little snub of tail, thankful for it. Now, that's a gross picture, but that's exactly what you get under socialism and communism. They take and then they give you back much less than what they took. And that's the kind of thing. You heard me say this before. It impressed me. I'll never forget it. Being there in the city of Moscow and seeing the potholes in the road, seeing plaster falling off of buildings, seeing all kind of work. Now, I was always raised, when you see something like that, you just get an urge to fix it. I've gotten in trouble before fixing things that I should have left alone. But it bugs me to see something that needs doing and just not get it done. So I notice all that stuff. I notice around here. If I had time, I'd give you a list that needs to be done all over our property. Nobody else sees it but me. Once in a while, some do and fix it, and thank God for them. But I can always make a circle around this property and come back and say, this needs doing, this needs doing. All right, I got off on that. Anyway, seeing the potholes and seeing the plaster fall off the buildings and seeing the government workers, supposed to be workers, standing around smoking cigarettes, kind of trying to stay warm out of the cold. And finally, a few of them could speak a little English, and we had an interpreter or two. And I just had a question that I had to get answered. And so I pointed out, I believe Brother Larry Whitmer, when we said to this group, ask them, how come they're not fixing this stuff up? How come they're not working? And here's the answer we got back, and I'm sure they'd given the answer many times before because they did it quickly. They said, preacher, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. Now that will bring down your buildings. That'll make potholes in the road. That'll just leave everything unkept with an attitude like that. It was so apparent. Now, the truth is that what's going on today, even the fact that America could right now have a full-blooded socialist running for highest office in the land, is we got the chickens coming home to roost. We have taken our young people, turned them over to the colleges and universities, and they have been brainwashed to the place that they think this is good. And that's why you got a big crowd following that. But the ultimate end is the one world government. The UN's got a plan for it. They're calling it 2030 right now on their agenda. They got a plan for it. And truth is, they're heading that direction. And they shape it up, the one world government, for the Antichrist to take over. And you know who's standing in the way? People like us. And they've already marked us to be standing in the way. I'm going to say this. Ultimate end of socialism is communism. This story right here in this book is worth reading. Paul Varnanoff, he told his story right here from my pulpit back in the late 70s. At the time, he was a member of Greg Dixon. Greg Dixon was the pastor in Indianapolis, and Paul was a member of his church. At that time, quite a large church. And Paul came down here and was with me two or three days and spoke from the pulpit and spoke, I think, in a smaller group maybe. But anyway, his story is worth reading, his testimony. Now here's the thing. His parents had gotten out of Russia and was in America, but then they got deceived as Christians, thinking that there'd been a let up on freedom of religion over there, that they could go back and reach their loved ones. And they hardly got off the train before they were arrested. charged nothing else but Christians. Now, his dad, 28 years in prison, and finally they beat him to death. He died there. His crime, just being a Christian. And it is amazing to read some of this stuff. I'm going to see if I can find a spot here maybe and read you just a little bit of some of it. I talked with him in great detail. I think maybe I told this on the radio, I'm not sure. Paul himself, even though he was a youngster at the time, by the time he grew up to be of age, they arrested him. And he was in the Siberian prison camps with them. He told me on one occasion where they were out working in the snow, and some prisoner had done something wrong, broken the rules, and they were asking the rest of the prisoners to turn him in, tell who it was that done whatever he done. And nobody wanted to squeal on him. So he said that they lined us all up, and they brought the firing squad out. And they started on one end. He said, I was somewhere about in the middle. He said, they started on one end, and they would shoot two or three men. He said, you'd see the blood go out on that white snow, and they'd fall out. And then they'd say, tell us what you know. Tell who done it, or we're going to kill all of you. He said, they kept on shooting two or three at the time, and nobody either knew or would tell. He said it was getting pretty close to me, but said another group of prisoners was overworking in a warehouse or something somewhere. And somehow or another, they were able on purpose to set a fire in that building. And all the guards ran to put it out. And he said they never did line us up again and finish shooting us. That's how close the man that wrote this testimony came to being killed himself. But it's so sad to read the story how they come for his father. He's younger now at this time. And says the secret police were waiting for the arrival of the prison van. In a few moments, father would be taken away. We looked at him as if for the last time and tried to imprint every feature of his face in our memories. His head was bent forward. On his pale face was an expression of utter weariness. The corners of his mouth was twitching slightly. His hair began to turn gray. He's trying to tell what he remembered as they arrested his father and took him away. And the amazing thing is that later on they came back for his mother. And here I'll read just a little bit of this. His mother's sick. They've got the small children. They're living in a basement with a dirt floor where the cold and the wind are coming through. They've hardly got any furniture. They've got a bed made out of boards. But she's laying in the bed. She's sick. She's got a fever. All of a sudden, they begin to beat on the door. They beat on it so hard, they knock it down. He said it was in bad shape anyhow. And they called her name and told her she was under arrest. Then they began to rip up the clothes, the lining out of their clothes, and hunt everything. Finally found a family Bible, and they put it all in a pile as evidence, these Christians, against the Christians. He said, I pleaded with the officer in charge of the arresting, partly that mother was ill and unable to stand on her feet without support. I told them that mother needed urgent medical help, that they should get a stretcher and carry her out. She couldn't walk. He said, at that instant, swearing and cursing at me, one of the soldiers pressed his bayonet at my stomach, ordered me to put my hands and face against the wall. Goes on to say that his mother took a couple of steps and fell on the dirt floor. And a soldier, swearing and cursing, he picked up his foot with his heavy boot to kick her. He said, I just closed my eyes and prayed to God. When I looked up, instead of kicking her, he let his foot down. But they took her away. She was in prison, seemed like 24 years. I believe the dad was in 28 when they killed him. And Paul got up back to America, and Khrushchev was over visiting the Soviet embassy, and Paul, by the grace of God, was able to walk right through bodyguards and everything and confront Khrushchev, asking, "Please let my sick mother out of prison." And the media picked up on it, and President Eisenhower got into it, and the mother did get out and lived, I think, a couple of years after she got out of prison because of that particular thing. You'll enjoy reading the book. And here's the point behind it. It's a real story. It's how socialism and communism treats you when they get total control. It's what any dictator can do. Now, some dictators are better than others, but any dictator holds your rights in his hand. And freedom, as we've known it in America, to preach the gospel and to raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, could be almost as close to losing it as another election or two. Because we are moving that way very, very fast. And we ought to take alarm about it. And we ought to be disturbed over it. We ought to do whatever we can while we still got constitutional rights. We ought to defend them. Amen?